Okay. Leviticus chapter 19. Let's read the first three verses. Now, we've read the first two already, and we preached about that. But we're going to reach a little farther tonight. I've got a lot of other scriptures I want to read to you before we even get started here. But Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord, your God. All right, now where we're going to go here tonight is, Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. And I'm not going to touch a keep my Sabbaths. I was going to, but there's too much to say about the other. What we're looking at here is the moral law of God. God is spelling it out. He's laying it out, detail by detail, piece by piece, the moral law, which is what is right and wrong as we live together on this earth, between us, between people. And so he hits a lot of different things. The last chapter was a lot of uncleanness and matters of sexual relations and all of that. We talked about all of that. But there's more to morality than that. There's foundational things, and that's one of the foundational things that matter there. Here's the other one. Your mother and your father. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, usually the father's first. This is the only place in the Bible where he says mother first. It's unique. But it doesn't matter which one's first. They're always together. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, that it may be well with thee, and that thy days may be long upon the earth. Honor your father and mother. I preached on this a lot of different times, but never like I'm going to tonight here, the Lord willing. I want to read you some other verses. If you want to write them down, go ahead. I'm going to hurry, so you may not be able to find them and read them with me. Exodus 20, verse 12. It's the verse I just quoted. It's the Ten Commandments. When God gave the Ten Commandments, it's honor thy father, thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 21:15, And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. God means what he says in these commandments. This is not a take it or leave it. This is not a suggestion. It's not a way to have a better life and a way to live longer. It's a thing that is foundational to moral law. Exodus 21, verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Smite him? Curse him? Did you ever see a kid cuss his mom and dad? You know what God says he should be done with him? He should be put to death. Now, that's God. That ain't my opinion. That ain't some church's opinion. That's what the Word of God says, that God Himself said. And there ain't no if or talking about it, no compromise. Shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. What does cursed mean? It means the same thing. He's out. Set light by your father or mother. Did you ever see anybody make fun of their father and mother? Did you ever see anybody set light by them? Say insulting, degrading things to them, demeaning things to their mother or father? You know what God says about them? They're not worthy to live. And they're certainly not worthy to be a part of society. Cursed be they. Out. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. This is God's wisdom. This is God's voice about this matter of how we're to think, talk about, treat, deal with our parents. Ezekiel 22, verse 7. Now, this is... I really ought to read the whole context here so you would understand it, but I'm going to make mention of this later and I'll tell you what else he said. But the context of this verse is bad stuff, the most abominable of sins and uncleanness. And this verse is right in the midst of it all. In thee have they set light by thy father, and mother. In the midst of these have they dealt by oppression with a stranger. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. So in thee have they set light by father and mother. That's a transgression equal with all these others I'll mention in a minute. But it's murder and adultery and stealing and everything else that you can imagine. Incest and every kind of uncleanness. All of it's mentioned right there. And that's mentioned with it, as equal to it. Set in light. I mean, God's fixing to judge this nation. That's Ezekiel. He's a prophet of the captivity. He said, this is what's fixing to happen to this people. This is why. This is what they're doing. They have no respect for their elders, for their parents. All right? That's all Old Testament, you say. Well, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. For God, said Jesus, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. You want to say Old Testament? Jesus said that. Let him die the death. Now, let me see here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. This is the last verse I'm going to read right here, right now. But I'm just trying to show you what the Word of God says, some of what it says about this matter. It's full of this. Full of this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Alright, so first thing mentioned after ye shall be holy is ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. Now this commandment is mentioned in one way or another untold times in the Word of God. I've just read to you out of the law, out of the prophets, from the words of Jesus, out of the Gospels, and out of the epistles in the New Testament. The same thing. Where it's just reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. You honor your father and mother, or you're worthy of death. You say, well, I don't think it's that bad. Well, you just messed up. You don't understand. You are wrong. And you're going to face God in a bad way when you face God. Now, it is explained in a very clear detail, so there's no mistaking what it means. The words are used here, setting light by, smiting, cursing, disobeying, mocking, despising. These are the words used to identify those who are guilty of violating this commandment. If you listen to the verses I read, you'd understand that that's exactly what it is. It's mentioned in the context there with the grossest of sins. In Ezekiel 22, where I read there and mentioned that, verses 7 through 12. The things that are mentioned are profaning the holy things of God. Murder, adultery, incest, lewdness, extortion. Those are the sins he lists in those few verses there, along with setting light by your father and mother. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 through 31 being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and disobedient to parents, is listed right with them.
Yep.
So it's just as bad as all of those. Disobedient to parents. Just not doing what they say. Refusing to honor their word, their wishes. Mm-hmm. Refusing to do what pleases them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. There it is again. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So you get it? Do you understand this? That honoring your father and mother is foundational to morality. People who do not honor their father and mother are the same kind of people who do all this other stuff. It's a serious thing. Honoring and regarding with reverence the parents to whom you owe your very life 10,000 times over is the very beginning of holiness in a life. Ye shall be holy. Every one of you shall fear your mother and father. It's the beginning of holiness. It's the very foundation of an attitude of heart that is mindful of and conducive to holiness in life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? This matter of honoring your father and mother. They're the first ones you know in your life. They're the first relationship you have in your life that has such a bond as that. They're the people you're closest to, you live with, you have the most interaction with. They're the ones you learn everything you know from. They're the ones that teach you how to feed yourself and how to go to the bathroom without messing yourself. They're the ones that stay up nights with you and pray for you. And they're the ones who kept you from dying all the time you were too helpless and ignorant to do it yourself. And if a person cannot or does not honor his parents, that person has not even begun to be in obedience to God. Now, I don't care if they're 5 years old or 70 years old. If they cannot or they have not learned or will not honor their parents, they ain't even begun to get right with God. There ain't no way. I mean, I've done read enough verses and shown you from the Word of God how important this is and how foundational it is to all morality. You learn how to do what's right starting here. You don't dishonor the people who brought you into this world and who raised you. And then go from there to be a holy, sanctified saint of God with your light shining in the world. It doesn't happen that way. You're right. You're classed in with the traitors and heady and high-minded and blasphemers. And all the rest of them. So it's a basic moral issue that confirms or denies the reality of the faith that we profess. Violating this command of God carried the most severe penalty that the law afforded. Death. Same as adultery. Same as murder. Same as all some of the other sodomy. Death. That's what this, breaking this commandment, disregarding this commandment, that was the penalty. Wow. A thief didn't die. A liar didn't die. Covetousness, people. They didn't get put to death. Those who take God seriously and truly desire to obey Him have to come to terms with this commandment. Now, I've preached on this before, and I've always heard the feedback, you know, from people who just, well, they got some reason. They got some exemption why they can't honor their parents. Their parents wasn't no good. Ain't no count. Wasn't no good. Did me wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you some things. Sadly, there are a lot of people who try to think themselves religious while living in total rebellion against this commandment right here. These people are in for a rude awakening when they face God. For in His sight, they're worthy of death, and they're far, far from being in the favor of God. Now, I'm telling you the truth. You better take it to heart. Many find it very difficult to honor parents because they have somewhat against them. But don't be deceived into thinking that God has provided exemptions for those who are able to find fault with their parents. He has not provided any exemptions. There's no excuse. There's no explanation that God's going to accept why you despise, reject, belittle, set light by your parents. Who could not find fault with their parents? I mean, tell me that. You tell me who in this world could not find fault with their parents. God didn't make this commandment because parents are perfect. God never gave children to perfect parents. When He gave His own Son to this world, He didn't give Him to perfect parents. The very nature of the relationship makes it impossible to keep from seeing faults. It's close. You know, living together, you know, it's a rude awakening for a lot of people who are madly in love when they move in together after they get married. It's a rude awakening. Man, they find out all kinds of things that they don't like here. They didn't know about before until they started living with them. Yeah. There's a whole lot of unpleasant things about you when you're a baby and when you're a young child and when you're a teenager. There's a lot of unpleasant things about you too. I want you to know. Let me just ask you some questions here. Who makes the most mistakes in child rearing here? As a child's growing up, who makes the most mistakes? The parents or the children? Who has more of a right to find fault and hold grudges and keep accounts? The parents or the children? Who gets the better of the deal? The parents or the children? You better believe it. They get a free ride until they're grown, and a lot of them keep riding plumb long after that. They're protected. They're provided for. They're nursed and cherished and doted upon. What do they give in return to their parents? They lie to them. They sneak around and do dirty stuff. They shame them with their foolishness and their ignorance and their sin. And then that same child will grow up and curse his parents. Despise his parents. Set light by them. Like they're somebody stupid and don't know anything. Don't you make fun of me because I don't know how to use a computer. I taught you to eat with a spoon. And we figured out everything in this world without Google. And you can't. You can't even tie your shoes. So who commits the most offenses? The parents or the children? This generation that despises their father and their mother. Curses their father and mother. There's a generation that curseth their father and their mother. Who are these? They're the ones who's got all these charges against the parents who kept them alive. Who bears the rod? The parents of the child. Just the nature of the relationship is going to make it this way. Parents have to discipline their children or they are not right with God. Amen. And you don't love your children if you do not discipline them. God said that if you spare the rod, you hate your son. Now that's what the Bible really does say. It don't say spare the rod and spoil the child. That's something that somebody said one time and everybody took it and said that's what the Bible said. The Bible don't say that. The Bible says he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But the parent will say, oh, I love him too much to spank him. I just don't want to hurt him. No, you're a liar. You are so selfish and self-centered that you don't want to bear the burden and the hurt of it yourself. You don't want to hear him cry. You don't want to displease him. You're like they said about David. He never displeased him by saying no. And he got an Absalom and an Amnon from doing that. But the very nature of that, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. They can come to Mama and Papa's house and, you know, everybody thinks we'll just let them do anything. Well, we'll let them get away with a lot more than Mom and Dad will because we don't have to live with them all the time. And that's the truth. It was that way when I was a kid and I went to my grandma's house. It was that way with you when you were a kid and you went to your grandma's house. It's just the nature of the relationship. I read one time grandparents and grandchildren are natural allies. And that's true. But grandparents who really love their grandchildren won't be stupid with that. You know, they won't tolerate the rebellious and ungodly behavior out of the children. And they've just got a little more power to deal with it in a different way. Now, you just have to wait till you get to be a grandparent to see what I'm talking about. I've been a parent for a long time. And I've been a grandparent now for quite a while. And I can tell you how it is. Being a parent is much harder than being a grandparent. Yes, it is. You've got to be the bad guy. You've got to be the one, and especially Dad, because Mama put it off on Dad. She said, I'm going to tell your daddy when he gets home, he's going to beat the every living daylights out of you. And so, as soon as Dad walks in, whoop them kids. Well, what a way to come home. So the kids just get in their mind, you know, well, there's the guy that whoops us. The Terminator, there he comes. And it gets that, the kids, just the way it is. Some kids grow up and they resent that. And they curse their parents because their parents tried to discipline them. Some parents, and let me tell you something, parents are learning as they go too. They don't know how to do it until it's almost over or already over and then they finally get to understanding some things. I don't know of any parent. I know of myself. There's things that we did, the disciplining the kids, you know, that I'm ashamed of now. I remember when Seth was like 3 years old, he's scared of the dark. And I remember just whooping him until I was just ashamed of him. And I am ashamed of him now. He was scared of the dark. Well, he wasn't as far from our bed as she is from me right now. And the doors were open. And I'd say, ain't nothing to be afraid of. And we're right here. And the light's on. And so why are you... I don't know why he was that way. Years later, when the other kids come along, Esther was the same way. She's scared of the dark. And we're just having a terrible time with him. Well, you know, I didn't do that with her. I just knew better by then. Finally, I went in there one night and said, what is wrong? Why? What? And she said, it's that window. I said, that's it? You're by the window? So we moved the bed. I said, we'll move the bed tomorrow. And we moved the bed and that solved the problem. Sorry, Seth. I'm sorry. You probably don't even remember it. You were so little. But... It's okay. Most people get their turn. You're up next. We'll see how you do. Teenagers are the ones who know the most about raising kids and how to do it right. Well, just, okay, get your boots on and get ready because you're up next. We'll see how you do. Well, children are such selfish, lying, deceiving, demanding little creatures that it's impossible for a parent to live with them day and night for 18 or 20 years without offending them in some way. Obeying this commandment requires that a person grow up and act like an adult instead of a child. He's got to begin to see a bigger view of life and of his parents and their lives than his own little bubble of self that he's lived in all the time he's been a child. You got to start out. You got to, at some point, you got to realize your parents are people too. And they were young ones too. And they had to learn just like you're going to have to learn and like everybody else has had to learn and like their parents had to learn. I was telling some of the kids the other night, you know, Elizabeth said she wanted to be fair. And I said, well, that's good. I always tried to be fair. That was the goal. But I said, you ain't going to always be fair. They lie to you too much. There's too much confusion and deceit and sneakiness. And you're going to make the wrong call once in a while. And you're going to whoop a kid when they shouldn't get a whooping. But you're going to miss a lot of times when they need it and you didn't give it to them. I got whoopings. When I was a kid, I was innocent as I could be. I really was. But I got a whooping anyway. I got whoopings at school, in high school. They whooped me every time I turned around. When I was a senior in high school. And one time, I know, I was flat innocent. But, you know, they were just kind of used to me being guilty. So that's kind of how it goes at home, too. There's been a lot of times when I'd come in and it was just chaos. And I'd try to bring some order and all it was just and lie. There's all a lie. And I'd say, all right, I'll just whoop all of you. That's how I'll fix this problem. You ain't going to just back me off and bluff me out with all of this lying. I'll whoop every one of you. That's the way to do it. They may get mad at you, but they'll thank you one day. And one day they'll understand when they got a bunch of little lying kids. And they're doing the same thing. I'll tell you what makes children curse their parents more than anything else is parents who won't do that kind of stuff. Now you can't just fly in and just, raise everything to the ground every time you turn around and that's all there is to you. That won't work. But you love your kids and there's got to be the love and the kindness and all of the good times too. It's got to be pleasant, but when trouble has to be dealt with, there better be a man in the house who'll deal with it. And if there is, there'll be children who'll rise up one of these days and honor you. And everybody just don't believe that. They don't think that's the way it is. Because of these children who curse their parents. And who despise them. And who set light by them. They think the reason they do that is because they disciplined them when they were little. That is not true. I've seen it even in church. We used to haul kids in on the buses and stuff. And in Sunday school classes and everything. And Dad will say the same thing, you know, about being in Sunday school with the little boys up there at church. You know, the ones who you force to behave, and you get rough with sometimes, they're the ones that will still come to you after they're grown men and want to hug you. And they love you. You're probably the only person in their life that ever tried to set them straight. Children need it. They respect it when they get bigger. And people just need to believe that. That's the truth. And that's the way God set it up. He's got to realize that his parents are just people, and they've dealt with an impossible task dealing with him, the children, the best way they could. Children just need to realize that at some point in their life, they need to wake up, grow up, and realize their parents had a pretty hard task to deal with them. I mean, they were a pretty handful. If You know, they need to think about this. If my parents held as much against me as I do against them, how would that be? I mean, if I'm going to hold grudges against my parents for things that happened when I grew up, I wonder how much they could come up with to have a grudge against me. I wonder which way that balance would go. Huh? Need to think about that. So a person, especially a person who claims to be a Christian, should be willing to offer the same mercy and forgiveness to their parents as they do to any other person. Now, we know that if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So, I've really got a problem with these people who claim to be Christians and so spiritual and ain't got nothing but evil to say about their parents. Or if they have any evil to say about their parents. I mean, how can you, you know, in one breath talking about how much they care about lost sinners and everybody that comes along, boy, they want to help them and have mercy on them and all that. And then the parents is like, no, no mercy, no forgiveness, no grace. Ain't right. No one's exempt from this concerning your parents. Forgiven. Forgiveness. God did not give us this commandment because parents are perfect and it's always the easy thing to do. But our parents are not to blame for our choices that we make in life when we're in rebellion against them. Our parents are not to blame for all the trouble we get ourselves into with our own foolishness and refusing to walk in their counsel and the commandments of God. I've had kids walk away in rebellion and go their own way and make a total wreck of their life. And that's not my fault. I'm not to blame for what they did. Now, they want to turn around and blame it on me. Well, naturally. That's what Adam did. That's what Eve did. That's what every sinner's always done. That's what every little child does as soon as they get able to sin. They immediately blame it on somebody else when they're caught. That's just the way it works. So it's no surprise that they do that. But they're going to find out when they face God that they are guilty of and worthy of death. They're guilty of violating a basic moral law of God. And they can go on and they can do whatever they want to and try to be religious and try to claim they're a Christian and they can give their body to be burned as a martyr. And it's going to avail them nothing. That's right. Charity is the main thing. What about charity with parents? What if a person has parents that are dishonorable people, though? You know, I understand we're in a messed up world here. A lot of people don't even know who their parents are. A lot of people don't have parents. Many, many, probably the majority now don't have mom and dad and a home they can look back on. It's all busted up for some reason or another. What if your parents abandoned you as a child? What if your parents divorced and in their selfishness they just threw your life out the window? Then all the children will deal with it. They'll learn to deal with it. I've heard that. I've heard people say that. Getting divorced and what about the children? Oh, they'll just deal with it. No, they won't. What if that happened to you? What if they lived their lives in drugs and alcohol and whoredom and didn't care about your life at all? Then you read this commandment that says you got to honor them. What if they were just mean, miserable, hateful people? Well, we've already talked about the answers to these questions. If you're a Christian, what is to be your attitude toward them? Well, you must forgive them, not curse them, not mock them, not despise them, not set light by them. God doesn't require us to imagine things about them that are not true. God's a God of truth. He don't expect you to pretend that it's not so, or to imagine that it's not so. You may be ashamed of them, but that don't mean that you have to violate the commandment of God by dishonoring them. God doesn't require us to imagine things about them that are not true. If they were not good people, then we're not honoring them by lying and saying they were. That's not what you need to do. It's not what you need to think about doing. God would surely have us not speak evil of them and make others think evil of them, though, wouldn't you say? Since He don't want us to do that about anybody. Don't you think that would apply to our parents too, even if they were ungodly and even if they were not honorable? God only requires us not to hate, not to despise, not to be bitter against them, not to have an attitude of forgiveness toward them, not hate them, not despise them, not be bitter against them, but to have an attitude of forgiveness toward them. I mean, that's the least that you can do. It's the only thing you can do and really be right with God. It's going to derail you, you know, if you don't. People that have this problem, it's a moral pillar. And if you skip it, fail at it, ignore it, deliberately violate it, and feel like you're justified in it, you're derailed morally with all kinds of other things. Y'all understand that? It's a foundational thing. Very important. This underlies everything else. Morality starts with this. I mean, it's the first thing you mentioned. That's when you should be holy. This is the first thing you mentioned. This is how you start at it. You start with the people you started life with. You start at the beginning of your life and you get things right. You do things right as you can. Things get real complicated. You know, I know some of the situations that some of you all got. I know. And I'm just trying to help you here tonight. I'm not trying to put a burden on you. I'm trying to help you with this. Because it's a dilemma for you. If you got parents that are really hard for you to figure out how to honor, well, I'm just telling you, honoring them is just not despising them. Not setting light on them. Not being unwilling to forgive. You ought to have a heart that's willing to forgive. And so, it might be the only hope of their salvation. Do you ever think of that? Might be the only hope. What about those who dishonor their loving and godly parents, though? I mean, it's one thing when you have that excuse. I mean, it's still wrong, and God's going to hold you to account. But it's a lot more understandable from our viewpoint if somebody's got parents that are just... You don't know how in the world you could honor them. But what about parents who are worthy of honor? We can all feel sympathy and compassion for those who have not had good parents. And we have to really have God's help to not violate this basic moral law. They do, people that have parents like that. I've known people through my life. I used to have a friend that I had for years and years, and his mother abandoned them when they were little. He had a brother, and him. They had a sister. She took the sister, and she never saw them, never tried to contact them in all their lives. Left them with their grandparents. You know, they had a hard time with that. One of them finally did make contact with her years later after he grew up, because... had that desire. And he tried to find some way to figure out how to have a mother and that he could feel some honor toward her. The other one wouldn't have nothing to do with it. He didn't want to see her. He didn't want to know of her. He didn't want to know nothing about her. But she abandoned him. He was old enough to remember when she did it. I know other people the same way. Abandoned by their mother or their father. Mostly mother. That's the thing. When mother just abandons you like that. Mercy. But there should be no sympathy for those who are so wretched that they would dishonor, curse, despise, and set light by parents who have prayed and wept over them since the day they were born and lived a life of faith and holiness before them, and then to be cursed by their children and despised by their children. There ought to be no sympathy or compassion for people like that. It's a calamity that we've seen very commonly throughout history and in our own families right now. That even in a home where God is truly worshipped, even there, a selfish, deceived, bitter soul can survive all the prayers and workings of God to become a tool of Satan and a wretch headed for hell. We can look back through the Bible and some of the greatest men in the Bible. We're studying about David. In my opinion, the greatest man in the Bible besides Jesus. And he had his family had several of these in it. His own son tried to kill him. Other sons brought shame upon him. You wouldn't find a more godly, faithful person than David. But that's some of what grew up under him. It's a common thing. What an awful evil. I mean, think about this. What an awful evil for a son or daughter to revile, set light by, despise, dishonor, and hate those dear souls that thank God for them the day they were born and nourished and cherished them and provided and protected them and wept and prayed for them every day of their life. Think how what an abominable thing that is. You better not believe that it doesn't happen. It happens all the time. Only when we understand that this commandment is the beginning of moral law will we understand the gravity of it. And only then will we truly understand and appreciate why God placed the ultimate penalty on those who trash it. And only then will we see it as the abominable thing that it is when children refuse to honor the parents. Now that's the truth. Told you the truth. And I think I've given a balanced view of things here. I've been told by my kids before, some of them, that people had to earn their respect, even parents. Parents don't have to earn your respect. Bud. Ain't no such thing in the Word of God. Ain't no such thing with God. It is not going to be that way with God. You are commanded, all of us are, to honor our father and mother. And if we don't, God says we're worthy of death. We're to be put to death. That's how serious it is. That's how abominable it is to God when we don't. Some parents are hard. It's a harder thing to do. But I've tried to make it clear to you. You don't have to pretend and make it into a fantasy about your parents. They are what they are. But you're to have a heart of forgiveness and not to despise. If you allow that stuff to happen, it's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin you. It's going to derail you morally. You can't let it. You can't let that bitterness and and despising and all of that in your heart. Just can't do it. Can't do it. Gotta get rid of that. Can't be a Christian and live a life of God's blessing. It's a root of bitterness springing up, and it'll defile many after it defiles you. Amen. And it might be their only hope. Only hope. Yeah. Surely you can find something good about them. If David could find good things to say about Saul, looks like you could find something good to say about the people who brought you into the world, nourished you till you grew up. Surely we could. I mean, we got a lot more going for us than even he had back then. We got a lot more to avail ourselves of. All right, that's it. I've been studying on this for weeks, and it's zero. I don't know if you can understand that or not, but there's times when it just ain't no go. It just ain't no go. It just won't go. And today, it's just like a green light. All right, let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for the wisdom that's here given in these scriptures we've read and talked about tonight. And Lord, I pray that it's plain and understandable for everybody that hears it. I pray, Spirit of God, that you would help where I didn't make it clear, where I confused it or didn't say what should need to be said. Pray you would cover those areas. Help everybody. Lord, this is a serious issue, and I know it's difficult for some people. And I pray that you would help us all to realize the truth of it and what our responsibility is, and then to do it. Help us to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.